Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. It's so good to be back with our listeners again today to open up God's Word and dig a little bit deeper, study a little bit further, learn a little bit more, and grow in our faith. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you to tell everybody you can about the program, Search the Scriptures, and also tell everybody to go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button, sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. We're not after people's wallets. We want to help as many people as we can get to heaven. And when someone signs up for our podcasting, they will automatically receive to their smartphone or computer or whatever smart device they choose this radio program 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. It'll automatically be there so they can listen to it whenever they have the opportunity. But they'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching automatically going to their smart device, their phone, their computer, or whatever they choose. And again, it will always be free. They will get a lot of teaching, and that can be very valuable for their souls and their spiritual lives and their eternal destiny. So tell everybody you can, churchofchrist.com, sign up for our podcasting. We also encourage you to tell everybody and take advantage yourself coming and checking us out at any and all of our services. Bible classes begin at 9:30 Sunday morning, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study at 6 o'clock each Sunday evening. Midweek Bible classes are every Wednesday evening at 6:30. The building is located at 3606 North 108th Street. 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. We hope to see you soon. We're going to get back into our study about another one of those heart problems. Problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. And this is the concluding section of our study in this series. We have looked already at nine different problems of the heart that we've emphasized. We've talked about laziness, hatred, fear, gossip, anger, worry, pride, prejudice, selfishness, and in this particular section, we're looking at weak faith. Now, why is somebody's life the way it is? What really, that's a basic message that really needs to come across through this entire series. We've been looking at it already for over 9 weeks now, these different problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. Why do people exhibit, why do they struggle with laziness and hatred and fear and gossip and anger and worry and so on? It's a heart problem. It's the condition of their heart. And weak faith is the same situation. Why does somebody have weak faith? It's a condition of their heart. A condition of their heart from a spiritual perspective. It's not something that was forced upon them. It was something that is a reality because of how they have conditioned their heart. They've not given their faith proper attention. Well, we've talked about faith. We've really been looking at it now in a lot of depth and detail, a lot of scripture references we have used to this point. We've talked about what faith really is. It is my personal belief in God and Christ. And then that my faith develops from the faith, and that is God's Word. We keep saying here in Search the Scriptures, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So as I study God's Word, as I come to understand it, believe it, and make the proper applications to my personal life, that's the development of my faith. And then when I put my faith into action on a consistent basis through obedience and dedication and service to God, that's my faithfulness. My faithfulness. So where does faith come from? It develops as I learn, as I become a student of God's Word and come to understand what it teaches, and I believe it, and I make the proper application to my life. And then I need to live my life by faith. In fact, my faith needs to become my life. How important is faith to me, personally, spiritually, eternally? As we've emphasized, how important, by way of illustration, is food to your physical life? It's all important, isn't it? You can't live without food. You're going to die. How important is water? You'll die even quicker if you don't have enough water. Those are illustrations that ought to help us understand how important faith is to our spiritual life, to our spiritual well-being, to our eternal destiny. Faith is all important. Again, what did the Hebrews writer say in Hebrews 11 and verse 6? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, speaking of God. For he who would come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, I've said therefore that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. When Jesus told the apostles to go and teach the gospel, preach the gospel throughout the world, preach to all creation, He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. So faith is all important. We saw that we stand strong in our spiritual lives by faith. We live our spiritual lives successfully from a spiritual perspective by faith. We walk, that is, we live our lives on a daily basis, guided by faith, our faith in God and our faith in Christ. Faith is all important to our spiritual well-being, just as, and even more important than, food, physical food being to our physical lives. Now, the dangers of weak faith: eternal condemnation. But before eternal condemnation, weak faith will lead us into sin. It'll lead us away from God. It'll lead us to live a life of very, very weak or even no dedication to our Lord and Savior. And that opens the door to the devil to walk into our lives. And we become more susceptible to his temptations. We become more susceptible to whatever the challenges that life may throw at us, breaking us down. The dangers of weak faith, and ultimately, eternal condemnation. The Hebrews writer went into some depth, instructing his readers that they needed to get beyond the baby faith stage, and that's the stage of the development of a person's faith as they are just coming to understand enough and their faith is getting strong enough that they become a Christian. They are baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. They're born again spiritually. That's the baby faith stage. They're just coming out of the starting block, so to speak. And the Hebrews writer, he's writing this to some Christians. They've gone that far, but they have not progressed further as they should have by this time in the development of their faith. And I would like to read at least part of that particular text of Scripture, because it is so appropriate for us to try to be on guard against letting that happen to us. If we had, let's say, a mom and a daddy, and mama just gave birth to our child. Now, initially, she's going to feed that child baby food, but not even baby food out of a jar. that baby is going to receive pablum, milk, something that is very easy on the digestive system. But that's not what she's going to continue to feed that baby as the baby starts to develop within just a month or two. She's going to start giving that baby more solid food and ultimately some baby food. And then as the months and a year or so goes on, she's going to start giving them table food. But if that baby's digestive system will not tolerate anything more than milk, she's going to be taking that baby to the doctor and saying something's wrong and something needs to be done. Well, when we first become a Christian, when we're first baptized into Christ, we're at the baby faith stage. We're at the baby Christian stage. And that's not putting us down. That's natural. That's where we begin. But we cannot stay in that underdeveloped or weakly developed position of faith. And so the Hebrews writer, he's rebuking this particular group of Christians. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." In other words, the very basic fundamentals you haven't developed in your faith as you should. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. And there's the illustration with a newborn baby again. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." How do we get to that more mature, more spiritually developed stage in our faith? We keep studying God's Word. We keep putting ourselves to the discipline of growing in our faith through God's Word. No longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but grow up in all things, grow up in all things into Him who is the head, and that is Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 16. Now, in the event that we find ourselves with weak faith, what do we do? How do we counter that? How do we become stronger in our faith? How can we overcome weak faith and develop and maintain strong faith? Let's look at some steps. First, step number one, get back into God's Word diligently. There is no shortcut to developing strong faith. In order to have strong faith, it is imperative, absolutely essential, that a person becomes a diligent student of God's Word. As noted earlier in this study, the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," the Bible, the Scriptures, God's Word, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Now notice Paul's emphasis on being diligent. Also notice the bases he lays out for a worker standing approved and not needing to be ashamed before God. That basis is his ability to handle God's Word correctly, that is, understand it correctly and make the proper and correct applications to his life. As has already been emphasized in our study, perhaps the most basic reason for our need to study God's Word, the Bible, is the fact that our personal faith and therefore our salvation is rooted in God's Word. Again, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Going back to Paul's second letter to Timothy, he went on in chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, to emphasize the benefits that are available to a person who diligently studies God's Word on an ongoing basis. Paul said, he reminds Timothy, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, which are able to make you wise for salvation. How do we learn how to be saved? Through the Scriptures, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That faith develops as we study the Scriptures. And then he goes on, and he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it is God's very word, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you can basically tie all of those statements together. It's beneficial for our teaching, our learning, and thereby the development and strengthening of our faith. And then he says that the man of God may be complete, fully mature spiritually, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. There is absolutely no substitute for studying and learning the teachings laid out in the Bible for the development of our faith and the strengthening and maintaining strong faith. First, the Scriptures guide us to salvation. As Paul told Timothy, you came to salvation in Jesus Christ through faith that developed within you through your study of the Scriptures. A person learns how to come to Christ, how to be forgiven of his sins, how to be saved through the teachings of God's Word. What did Jesus say in John 8, verses 31 and 32? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples or followers indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We're born again through the word of God, James 1 and verse 18. And look at what Peter, look at the detail that he goes into to emphasize the importance of the development of our faith, the growth spiritually through God's Word. God's Word. We look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we begin reading with verse 22. Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, purified your souls. You've been forgiven of your sins. How did you come to that forgiveness? You obeyed the truth. What truth is he talking about? God's word. Jesus prayed to the Father on the night of his betrayal, and he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Peter says, you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. And then he goes on and says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. That's the importance. Another illustration of the importance of being a diligent student of God's word. Remember that the message of the gospel, written down in Scripture, bears the power of God to salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That gospel message, written down in Scripture, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Mankind is called to salvation by that gospel message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. God's plan for your salvation, your eternal life, is through the message preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Then, once a person has become a Christian, how do I live that Christian life? Well, the Scriptures provide further doctrine, that is teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Where does all that come from? The Scriptures, to equip us as a new Christian to live that faithful Christian life, as we read a few moments ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We need to grow in our faith. The more we're in God's Word, the more we'll grow in our faith. The more productive our life before God will become. Spiritually, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Scriptures were written for our learning and to strengthen our faith. John 20, verses 30 and 31. 1 John 5 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. You pick up your Bible, and it's like, as pertaining to your physical life, a person is starving to death, and they pick up some food and start to eat, and their physical bodies are nourished and strengthened and saved. The Bible is that spiritual sustenance, spiritual food for our faith, and thereby for our spiritual life. So the first thing we need to do, if we find our faith to be weak, and we want to develop stronger faith and maintain strong faith, we've got to become diligent students of God's Word. Now, step two, we need to become diligent in prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Prayer is one of the most powerful spiritual tools with which God has blessed Christians. At the end of Paul's list of the pieces or the implements of the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6, he adds, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. How sad that this powerful tool is so underutilized by so many. And there is good reason why Christians are admonished to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Through prayer, we can literally talk to God. We can lay before Him our needs, our weaknesses, our concerns, our questions. A strong prayer life is crucial to developing and maintaining strong faith. How often we need to include in our prayers, "Help my unbelief," as recorded in Mark 9, verses 23 and 24. How often we should petition our Heavenly Father to increase our faith. Luke 17 and verse 5. Step number one to develop strong faith and maintain strong faith, be a diligent student of God's Word. Step number two, be diligent in prayer. And we'll look into this step further next time. Let's pray. Father, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Guide us, encourage us, motivate us to be diligent students of your Word and to make the proper applications to our lives and to continue to be in communication with you through prayer. Please, Father, we pray. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.